Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday, in our study of Revelation chapter 8, we were talking about the fearful, chaotic conditions on earth, in contrast to the silent, reverent peacefulness in heaven as the seventh seal is opened. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here is our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
The imagery in verse 1 is that of a courtroom. Perfect silence is required. Judgment is ready to fall. And although the silence may seem as a long time to others, we must not forget that under the altar, that there were those that had been sealed, that were in those sealed judgments. They asked God in chapter 6, verse 10, how long? How long? They're eager to have the redeemed bodies. And those spirits say, how long? And it's interesting how a short time can seem so long, given whatever the circumstances may be. For example, someone is swimming. They're going underwater for about the third time. And the struggle may have only been less than 1 minute, but to them it seems like forever. Help is coming too slowly. Silence can be used also for emphasis' sake. Has your mate ever given you the silent treatment? And if you ask, well, what's wrong, it's going to end up being your fault. And over the years, you learn that. But what a contrast this scene in heaven is to the earth. In heaven, there is silence. When they open the seventh seal, it's for about the space of a half hour. How long or how short that is, we're just not exactly sure. But we can be sure that it's a time of reverence. And again, it's a contrast to chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. Whereas there's silence in heaven, there it says, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Oh, can you imagine? People screaming for the mountains to fall on them. All the fear, the confusion that is on earth, but in heaven. Reverence. Silent reverence. But now, having seen the opening of that seventh seal, we look next at the scene in heaven, which is covered by verses 2 through 6 here of Revelation chapter 8. And here it says in verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Well, the subject is now changed to angels and prayer. Now, we're not told who these angels are, but they must be of highest rank because they stand before God. Personally, I believe they're archangels, although that's not a definite fact, and it's not something that I would part company with someone else. But I believe that they're probably archangels. It is noted that seven trumpets are given to them. Now, that's interesting because trumpets were routinely used for military communications. They may signal a maneuver. For example, somebody plays a trumpet, they play charge. And you just hear that sound, and you know they're moving forward. There's a sound for retreat. There's taps that they play at somebody's death. And the trumpet is used for various things with a military. They may serve as a civil defense mechanism by warning of impending trouble. Since judgment is about to fall from heaven, this is a military communication to his angels. And it's a warning to the earth. Now, it would be a good study to look up the warnings in God's Word in order just to heed them. For an example, take heed that that day not overtake you, the Bible warns. The Bible warns, whatsoever you sow, that shall you also reap. So it is good to review the Word of God and see things that, well, things that are warnings in God's Word that may cause loss of reward in heaven. Things that are important to God, and things that He warns about that may even bring the chastening hand of God upon our lives now. And that takes us on to verses 3 and 4, where we see another angel. And there he says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand." Well, he says, there is another angel. Now, some call this the imagery of the Old Testament altar. But remember, it's the Old Testament altar and the tabernacle that were patterned after the heavenly. Chapter 6, verse 9, mentioned those souls that were under the altar. The altar in heaven is the original. The altar in heaven is the real thing. The Old Testament altar, the Old Testament tabernacle, were merely images of the true tabernacle and altar in heaven. And so he says, another angel. And who is that? Personally, I believe this other angel is the Lord Jesus Christ. We must remember that Jesus also made appearances in the Old Testament. You remember back the story in Genesis chapter 18? There were three who came to Abraham, and one of those, I believe, was the Lord Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate form. And I think that this was a Christophany where he appeared in this angelic form unto Abraham with these other two angels. The other two angels go on to destroy Sodom. But God is there in the person of this angel to let Abraham know what the next step is in Sodom, in which he's going to destroy it. And the Lord is just simply showing Abraham things to come. The word angel shows he is ministering. The surroundings are like that of the Old Testament tabernacle. As a ministering spirit, then, in this case, Jesus Christ is ministering. Now, do we remember Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, speaking of angels? Are they not all ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for them who shall be the heirs of salvation? Well, we see Jesus Christ here ministering for the heirs of salvation. So he's doing a work here that is angelic in fashion. He's doing a ministering work. But there's a specific thing he's doing in this work. That is, he is now doing the work of a high priest. Have you ever thought about this? How many great high priests are there going to be in heaven? Well, only one. And we pray in his name. The interceding angel the great high priest who has our prayers in his hands is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one I want interceding for me. Now, precisely who these saints are is not noted in this passage. However, many of the tribulational saints are going through great trial and suffering. And as they suffer, perhaps they might think that their prayers are not heard. Sometimes we have a problem of insincere praying. That is, we pray only in fleshly pride to consume for ourselves things that is only for our benefit, and we're not really putting the glory of God at the forefront. And the truth is, we are not asking for it because we sincerely believe that it is according to God's will. We're asking to consume whatever upon our own lust or for our own agendas. I'm reminded of John chapter 15, verses 5 through 8. Jesus said, "I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth," that means to settle down and live in a home, okay? "He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them to the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples." Now, you cannot glorify God if you don't abide in him. And you abide in Christ through obedience to the Word of God, by doing his will, allowing Christ to be all in all. And if we don't abide, then we're just like old dried up branches that men throw in a fire. Our works will be tried by fire. Is that not interesting, that our works are tried by fire? And we find that our works that abide not the fire are like wood, hay, and stubble. They're burnt up. Because so much, even in religion, in church, is to consume it on our lust, or it's our agenda, not God's. Now, insincere praying will not be in any censer in heaven. However, as back in chapter 5 and verse 8, we see that God is pleased when his people pray prayers from a right heart, and they are as a sweet incense unto him. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.